David, how many total solar eclipses have you been able to view so far, and where were they?
I have seen 5 total solar eclipses beginning in 1998. My first one was in Aruba. Then I went to Munich, Germany. Then Queensland, Australia, the Faroe Islands in the North Atlantic, and last year I went to Indonesia.
In your new book, you describe travels to view solar eclipses as journeys that have felt like reunions with an old acquaintance who is available only at odd intervals and seemingly random locales. What is the appeal of these total eclipses for you?
Oh, boy. Total solar eclipses are the most wondrous sights in all of nature. It is like being transported to another planet. And unless you've seen one, which most Americans haven't, there hasn't been a total solar eclipse in the continental United States in 38 years. Unless you've seen one, it's very hard to convey. Because what you would think is during a total eclipse, when the moon completely covers the face of the sun, you don't see anything, right? But it's just the opposite. It's only, and it's a paradox, it's only when the surface of the sun is completely covered that you actually can look at the sun with the naked eye. And you can see the sun's outer atmosphere, which is just glorious. And you're actually looking toward the center of the solar system so you can see the sun and the planets together. It's a very bizarre and beautiful, and I dare say spiritual experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it. This is something that's so close to where we are. And like you said, 38 years since it was in the continental United States. And how long till it's in this exact path again?
Total eclipses will cross somewhere on the planet about once every 18 months. But they don't come back to any given spot very often. In fact, any given place on Earth experiences a total solar eclipse about once every 400 years. The last total eclipse to cross any part of Missouri was in 1869. And, of course, there will be one this August 21st. And another one, you're just very lucky, will cross part of Missouri in 2024. But total eclipses, the last one, like the one this August, the last one to cross the country coast to coast was in 1918. So it's been 99 years since we've had one as big as the one coming in August.
Why should people here in Missouri be interested in the total solar eclipse that's set to occur this August 21st?
Well, again, it is a rare experience, and it is a glorious experience. It really is an opportunity to step out of our day-to-day existence and just appreciate where we are in the universe. You know, we're on this tiny rock around this star floating in space. And most of the time we can think of that intellectually, but we don't appreciate it. But when the moon goes in front of the sun and it goes dark in the middle of the day and you see bright stars and planets come out and you see what's around the sun, it just makes you feel puny, but also sort of connected to the enormity of the universe. And I'm a science guy, right? I'm a science writer. I think of things very logically, but for me, a total eclipse is not a scientific experience. It is a human experience, and it really is something everyone should have at least once in their life.
Yeah, and in your new book, American Eclipse, you really get that sense of community that everybody is fascinated with, you know, that one thing going on at that one time.
So in my book about the eclipse of 1878, back then America got very excited. That year, the total eclipse was visible in the Wild West. Basically, so a total eclipse is only visible in a narrow path called the Path of Totality. And the one in 1878, the path went from Montana Territory down to Texas, right down the spine of the Rockies. And so there were folks, there were scientists who came from the east. There were tourists who came from the east to go out to the west to see it. All of North America got to see a partial eclipse that year. And the newspapers gave it tremendous coverage. Everyone was very excited about it.
Which they will be this August, too. And I'm not going to give anything away, but it wasn't all good and exciting things that were happening at that time during the total solar eclipse of 1878. It was tragic, too, based on lack of understanding.
Right. And I do open the book with a tragedy that occurred. Most of the people in 1878 knew that the eclipse was coming. Even back then, scientists knew how to predict solar eclipses with great precision. They knew it was coming, exactly when, exactly where. The newspapers reported on it. People were excited. But there was a decent chunk of folks in Texas who did not get word. And you can imagine being out in your farm field in the middle of the afternoon on a hot July day, and suddenly it goes dark. And you look up in the sky, and the sun is gone. And what's there instead is this golden crown. Well, for religious folks, and a lot of them were, they were convinced it was Christ returning, that this was Judgment Day. And many folks fell to their knees in prayer, ran to church, and I do open my story, my book, with the story of a tragedy where a father decided he was going to avoid the apocalypse and get to the other side as quickly as possible, and he took his own life and that of his son.
Yeah. What will we experience here on August 21st? I know if you go further north in Missouri, it's going to be a total solar eclipse. But what will we experience here in southwest Missouri?
So August 21st, it's a Monday. You will get a very deep and very cool partial eclipse here in the Springfield area. So the partial eclipse, as the moon just starts to go in front of the sun, will begin at 11:44 in the morning, and it'll reach its maximum at 1:13 in the afternoon, and it will be a 96% partial eclipse. And as partial eclipses go, that is great. You'll be able to observe it safely with eclipse glasses. You can't look at the sun with the naked eye, but if you get eclipse glasses, they cost all of $2. You'll see the sun become a very thin crescent. However, I have to say, if you have any possibility of taking the day off, take the day off and go a couple hours to the north or east up into the path of where the moon's shadow will fall. And because there it will be a fundamentally different experience. There you will actually, during the 2.5 minutes of total eclipse, you can take off the eclipse glasses and look with the naked eye at a sky you've never seen before.
I understand when the total eclipse is happening, animals act different. Things are like it's nightfall.
It's a sudden, bizarre, unexpected nightfall. You know, the sun goes away. It's basically dusk and then twilight in the middle of the afternoon. So birds will start flying around as if it's dusk. You may see bats. You may see fireflies. Frogs might start croaking. Chickens will go home to roost. And then all of a sudden it's morning and they all go back to what they were doing before. So, yeah, that's also fun to watch.
And I know the viewing options are a lot better than they used to be. I remember as a kid, we'd have to make some little box that you could just see the little shadow of the sun in. But now you actually can get eclipse glasses.
Right. And you can still do that with a box. Basically, what you're doing is creating a pinhole camera. If you just take a piece of cardboard, punch a little pinhole in it, and project the image of the sun. You don't look through the pinhole, but you hold it up so that light goes through the pinhole and projects onto another surface. Instead of a little circle of light, you'll see a little crescent as the sun becomes a crescent. And that's sort of cool. But it's lot more interesting to get eclipse glasses, which you can find online on my website, american-eclipse.com. I don't sell eclipse glasses, but I have information about the coming eclipse, including links to places where you can buy eclipse glasses. And as I say, they just cost a couple of dollars, and some libraries are handing them out. Science museums are selling them. They should be pretty easy to find if you just do a little searching.
And for those who aren't very familiar with solar eclipses, how does a total solar eclipse differ from some of the other solar eclipses that occur?
So eclipses come in different varieties. There are solar eclipses and lunar eclipses. So a lunar eclipse, an eclipse of the moon, occurs at night when the moon is full. And then so the full moon passes through the shadow of the Earth. And sometimes it's called a blood moon. The moon turns an eerie red color when it's in the shadow of the Earth. A solar eclipse occurs when, of course, the moon is on the other side between the Earth and the sun. Most solar eclipses are partial eclipses, as Springfield will see this year. But a total eclipse when the moon passes directly between the Earth and the sun is a much rarer event. I live in Boulder, Colorado. And the next total solar eclipse that will go over my house won't go there until July 22nd in the year 2772. So
wow.
You often have to wait a very, very long time.
back to your book, I want to talk more about that. Why did you decide to write about the total solar eclipse of 1878 and the race to what you call in the book's title, Catch the Shadow of the Moon and Win the Glory of the World?
Well, the eclipse of 1878 was really interesting for several reasons. One was that it occurred at a time when total eclipses were very important to science. Scientists were just starting to unravel the mysteries of the sun. You can imagine they were wondering, what is this great ball of fire in the sky? What is it made of? What fuels it? And there were certain studies of the sun that could only be done during a total solar eclipse. So when a total eclipse was predicted somewhere on Earth, astronomers would put these elaborate expeditions together, head off to the far corners of the planet, stand in the path of where the shadow of the moon would fall, and then frantically conduct their studies in 2 or 3 minutes of midday darkness. So in 1878, during this time when total eclipses were important to science, this one passed over the western United States. And interestingly, it was a time when the United States was just trying to prove itself as a scientific nation. Europe kind of looked down on us as not terribly intellectual. And so this was our chance for American scientists to prove what they could do in science, and the whole country rallied around them. And so it actually became an early important event in America's evolution as what it would become, which is the global superpower in science.
It's interesting, and I, especially as a female, enjoyed reading about Mariah Mitchell and her work with the students at Vassar and being able to take part in that eclipse.
Mariah Mitchell. I just love Mariah Mitchell. She was by far the most famous female scientist in America in the 19th century. She taught astronomy at Vassar College, which, of course, at the time was a pioneering all-women's college. You can imagine there were not too many jobs for female scientists. And so here she was teaching women, young women, to become scientists. They didn't really have jobs to go into. So she really saw it as her responsibility to try to change American culture, to make it so that women were taken seriously as scientists, that women would have opportunities. And in 1878, when groups of men were assembling these eclipse expeditions out to Colorado and Wyoming, out to the Wild West, Mariah Mitchell took it on herself to assemble an all-female expedition to Denver. And it was just remarkable. I mean, it was certainly a scientific expedition, but it was more than that. It was kind of political theater. And she got a lot of attention and a lot of praise for what she showed women could do.
Yeah. What can we expect from your talk and book signing tonight at 7 at the Library Center?
Well, I will be talking both about the eclipse of 1878, showing a lot of pictures and drawings of, it just was such a rich time here. This was the Western frontier and the Gilded Age and these amazing characters. Thomas Edison was out in Wyoming for the eclipse of 1878. It's a really rich forgotten tale from American history. But I will also be talking about the eclipse of 2017 and what folks around here will be able to see, as well as what you'll be able to see if you decide to take the day off, head north, head east, head northeast into the path of the moon's shadow on August 21st to experience the total solar eclipse.
If somebody wants to know more about your book, maybe where they can get it, again, what is the website?
So the website for my book is American-Eclipse.com, and I have information about the book. I've got links to events that I'll be speaking at, including the one tonight. But I also have a page devoted to the August 21st eclipse. It has sort of basic information, but then a lot of links at the bottom to NASA's website, to the American Astronomical Society's website. So if you want to find detailed maps of where to go, how to photograph the eclipse, how to view it safely, you'll find a lot of links on my site there, too.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, Michelle.